Good morning. If you'd asked me 10 years ago today what my relationship with Jesus Christ was, what my relationship with God was, I'd have probably said to you, well, if there is a God, he sure didn't want anything to do with me. Or as one of my associates here, Outlaw Club boss member here in Newton, North Carolina, when I'd asked him that same question, he said, well, I stay out of God's business and he stays out of mine. At least he was honest. I had a history lesson of Jesus Christ. I knew who he was. I knew the stories of Daniel in the lion's den and Noah's Ark. But I made a mistake when I was a youngster. I never crowned him as Lord. I never made him my Savior, my personal Savior. Never understood that a relationship was available for me through him, with him. I did understand, though, by the time that I came, you know, of a reasonable age in my mid to late teens, that I didn't have to go to church anymore. I could just do whatever I wanted to do. I was my own Lord. I could do whatever I wanted to. And as a result of that, got involved in drugs and alcohol at a reasonably young age. And I enjoyed it. It seemed to take the pain away for a while. And as time had progressed, I was in a construction trade. I'd made good money. I could afford house, car, drugs, bikes. I had some rowdy friends, many of whom you see on the screen there before you. And I was invited to become a member of an outlaw motorcycle club, a 1% club, the same type of clubs like the Hell's Angels and pagans and warlocks and banditos. We were an outlaw club and dared anybody to tell us different because we could prove them wrong. Most of our members ended up either dead or in jail. Better of half of who you see there before you. That picture was taken in October of 2001. Most of them are dead, and I would have been as well. But God had other plans, amen. With God, He's done some mighty things with me. But 2003 was an awful year for me. Everything that could possibly go wrong went wrong in a grand fashion, to where I couldn't see any way out of it. I'd run out, quite simply, by November, run out of hope. I didn't have any left. And I can't survive for even a second without hope. And what came to pass was I had desired to end my life, but I needed more reason just to off myself. I knew some people and where they were at about 1:30 in the morning on November 28th, 2003, at a bar that I used to frequent, and I felt that they had needed to pay. There was something that I needed to set right before I left this planet, and I've intended to help them to see the error of their ways of what they caused me and my friends, and to go and just quite simply execute a whole bunch of people. I had the armaments, I had the desire, and I knew what to do and how to make sure that there was nobody leaving that bar, including me, as I wasn't going to do capital time. So on the way over there, I wasn't listening to my typical devil music that I'd listen to get all psyched up prior to going to do something evil. It was really quiet as I had a plan in my mind, a sort of methodical way that I was going to do things to make sure that no one escaped my wrath. And on the way over, just a few stoplights away, I'm not of a charismatic nature, but I'll tell you for sure that the loudest voice, or the loudest whisper, rather, that I ever heard, came into my spirit and said, "Do not do this, for I have plans for you." I was a professional speed freak. I used speed for many, many years, and I wasn't one of those ones that hallucinated. I knew exactly what I was doing. I was just amped up to beat the band to do it. And I just pulled off the side of the road at IMS Gravel Plant there on Freedom Way, just not far from Shag's Bar in Weirton, West Virginia. And I just wept and asked the Lord to take this weight off of me. I was being crushed. I couldn't do this anymore. I didn't want to kill anybody. I just wanted this pain to stop. And in that instance, I knew that there was something different about me. Some of my guys had asked me, "Well, how'd you know?" It's like, well, I felt light. I felt like I wasn't dragging around that weight of sin anymore, that it was all taken off of me. I didn't have to live like that anymore. I had a new purpose and a new goal. I went back to my apartment, and I unloaded the weapon, and I found this little Gideon's Bible. I dug feverishly through things and found it. I made absolutely sure that he was mine and I was his, according to his word. And He changed my life. He changed my want to's. He changed who I was and gave me, took away my garbage of a life, and He gave me His diamond of an eternity. So what has happened since then? Well, I knew I needed to get out of there. I couldn't just hang out where I was before. Everybody knew me. If I walk around, or still today, wearing this shirt, they'd lock up the women and children, they'd call the police. Because I am a gang member, or was a gang member, and still would be into many of their eyes. And say, we were a feared group. We weren't just a little love puppy sort of people there. All of our judgment was done with axe handles. And if you couldn't respect us, you could fear us. And because it both worked the same way. It gave that power buzz of I'm in control and you're not. But now God is in control. And what's He done? He moved me. I could have gone anywhere in the world. I had a passport to go anywhere. And invites from clubs all over the world that were affiliates of ours to come and hang out with them for a while. But no, I had a new master. And he said I needed to get. And I didn't know anybody down here in Winston-Salem, but it was two tanks worth of gas, and here I was. And the Lord opened up so many doors, opened up the business again, was able to get a house right away. And most importantly, He introduced me to my wife, who loves the Lord and loves me as well. And I'm very, very thankful that He gave me that opportunity, because she's been a major inspiration to help me. Someone that loves me enough to tell me that maybe I'm straying a bit, but still loves me and still is willing to follow in a biblical form and fashion. I've also knew I was called to ministry when shortly after salvation, but I'd used so much drugs, I had no idea. But I thought I'd pretty much turn my brain to applesauce, which I may very well have. But God, once again, can redeem things, and He can rebuild things. And I went all Moses on Him and said, "No, Lord, no, I can't pray like these other people pray. I don't know Your word anywhere near. I'm never going to be able to remember scriptures. I don't half remember how to balance a checkbook. How am I supposed to be able to do all this?" And he left me go for a while. And about 3 years ago, I'd read the book of Ecclesiastes, and it cut me to the core. And realizing whatever is done with God will last. And everything else is just vanity, chasing after the wind. And I finally said, "Yes, Lord, I will. I'll go to Bible college, but You're going to need to do this for me. Because I don't have the finances. I was never a theologian, to say the least, in school. I just wanted to get out. But He's worked it out in such a way where we've got 2 degrees underneath our belt now, and they're going to the graduate level in the fall, the 4.0, and that's all of God. Because I tell you, it's all of God. You know, only way that I could do that is by His power and by His strength and by His desire to learn His holy word. I'd spent so long being an adversary to Him. It was time to pick up my cross and follow Him. So basically, what will you do with the Lord? What has He done for you? How will you use it? I never thought, you know, as I was growing up, I thought sitting in a church pew is really kind of boring at a certain point, because I never applied anything. I could soak it up, but I never had any power behind me, any desire to share it. But what are we going to do with Him? It's not what we're going to do for Him. What are we going to do with Christ? There's so many times that I've seen the Lord's hand move, and I need to see His hand move. I'm a weak person. I can easily be drawn astray and scattered like the wind. Satan has a target on my back. He has a target on your back for all those who've been called by His name. You know, we will be under attack and persecution. But when we go out and do something with Christ, He shows His hand faithful. He moves and opens doors to where I never thought I'd be able to get on into, of a base thing that most people would just count off as just being some drugged up biker. You know, Lord had way better, bigger plans, and He still is moving today. He still does mighty awesome things. Practice His presence, an eternal continuation of always talking to the Lord about everything. And of course, you know, folks, I knew all about judgment. Just look at the motorcycle club. That's a 1% patch I wore on me. I was a criminal, an outlaw club member. I made the patch. The patch didn't make me. I was a criminal long before that patch. Those guys there that you see going from left to right, that's Rex Miller. He's dead. Died of a heroin overdose. Left 3 kids behind and an equally drug-addicted wife. Mike Waters, the second one there, he was our club enforcer. When something needed to be reckoned with, he was an excellent fighter. excellent. I've just an awesome fighter. You got Jean-Claude Van Damme was in real life, that's Mike Waters. He was a bad dude. But Mike, one day, his cup of adversity was filled. I'd witnessed to him as well. Before I knew all these terms of witnessing and evangelism and preaching, I talked to Mike. And one day on the way, when me or Susan were coming back from Pigeon Forge, he called me. He was on the streets. His girlfriend kicked him out, was separated from his daughter as well. He was on pills and cocaine. And he asked me, how do I do this? How do I do this? And we led him to the Lord over the phone several hundred miles away. He prayed to receive Christ. Now, does Mike go to church all the time? No, but he's saved. He has the fruit because he's saved. He is a different person now. The next person going down the line to the right is Terry Miller. That's the brother of Rex. He's dead too. Brain aneurysm, too much drugs. The next person to the right is Bender, dead as well. Esophageal cancer, steady diet of cocaine, and Jack Daniels is a chaser. Next person, the blue there, is Nardo. His Lord is still Nardo. And then there's the boss, Mad Mike. I saw him just recently. I was up home and watching the Lord open more doors, and out of nowhere, here comes Mad Mike. Went up and hugged his neck, and he had a couple, let's say, ladies with him there, and was good, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And I still told him the Lord loved him. The Lord still wants him, no matter what. He's under four indictments right now for federal racketeering and a variety of different gun and drug-oriented charges. But his cup of adversity is filling as well. And then there's me. And there's Billy, the troll. Oddly enough, that man's 48 in that picture. But that's what hard living will do to you at 48. I'm 45 now. But that's 48 for you. Looks like Uncle Jesse. But his son was I'm telling you, his son was a dear friend of mine. His name was Mace. He was our road captain. Mace also got to hear about what the Lord did in my life, and I'll never know till the end if I'll see Mace or Rex or T or Bender, because I'll never know what they did with the Lord. But and I hope I'll see Mace again as well. But Mace got in a gunfight and he lost. A single shot pistol doesn't stand up real well against a Tech 9. And but once again, I'll never know till the end. Then my dear friend Feds, who's on the far right there, that I'm holding arms with on the back. Before I even knew how to even remotely witness to someone and to bring it to the point of decision, I stood there with tears in my eyes and a Gideon Bible in my hand. And said, "Please, brother, look at this. Please, you know, please make change. You know, there's got to be, you know, I want you to, I've never wanted." I can understand how Paul would say, you know, if only I'd give up my own salvation as if it were possible that one of my friends would be saved. I really would love Feds to be saved. You know, but once again, he's seen too much religious people and he didn't see enough of Christ. And then it was our old road captain, Charlie. He was just a good old beer drinking dude. But once again, I'll never know until the very end, if I'll see any of my brothers. We may be surprised who's there and who's not. Could be somebody wearing a 1% patch. You just never know. So what do? We get out and do something with Christ, not just for Him. And I thank you for your time today. I pray my blessing upon you all, and I thank you I want to thank the Lord for what He's done in my life, as He's the only one that's made it possible. I should have been out of here. God bless you all.